Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 and also turn to Luke chapter 6. We can hold our place in both of those places. I might be flipping back to Luke every once in a while, and sometimes it's just really good to see it in your Bible. And so we want to do that this morning. As you're there, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this word this morning, God. We thank you for instructions from heaven. We thank you for the presence of heaven, the presence of you, God, filling this place through and through, God. We thank you for the anointing, Lord, that destroys every yoke of bondage. We thank you, Lord, that we are on the winning team. And we win. And there is hope in you, God, as we continue to press in. We're not giving up. Hallelujah. We're in it for the long haul, God. And you're bringing us through to the other side. We trust you, and we're learning to trust you more. And this morning, you help us, Father, concerning these things. That is what this word is here for. Amen. Amen. Do you know what, church? It matters. It matters where we are building our life. And we have been told and shown that we are to build our life on the rock. And you know, who is the rock? Over in Deuteronomy, we're not going to turn here, just a reference. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, it says, he is the rock. And over in New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10, 4, it says, the rock is Christ. So Jesus Christ is the rock. And so we are to be building our life on Jesus Christ. What do you mean? What does that look like? What does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about that this morning. But we can just easily say right now, it's building our life upon this word. Remember, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. This word is a living word. This word became a living person. And we are to be building our life on it, on him, and only him. All other ground is sinking sand. And so sometimes, you know, it looks like it's working for a while. And that's where people get deceived. They think, well, look, it's okay. See, it's working. I'm doing okay. It's not going to stay that way, guys. Because if we're not doing it the word's way, we cannot expect the word's results. And so we must always endeavor to do it the word's way. Don't be deceived just because things might be seeming okay and, you know, everything seems to be holding up. We want to make sure we are building our life on the rock. And the rock is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And if we're building it on that, on him, it doesn't matter come hell or high water or anything in between. We, by faith, we don't walk by what is seen. And we believe and we know to be true. We're standing on the rock and we know he's going to see us through. You know, there's a lot of builders out there in the natural. You know, and the first step in building a structure or a house is the foundation. So, I mean, I'm sorry. That tells me that's an important part. If not the most important, it is the most important part, that first part. Without a foundation, will be absolutely no stability, totally unstable. And so, like I said, it matters where you build a home in the natural, right? It matters where you build that home. Well, it matters where we're building our life. It matters. Matthew chapter 7, and you know what, really, this parable In Matthew 7, it's the parable of the two builders. And over in Luke, it's referred to as the parable of the two foundations. So the parable of the two builders actually starts in verse 24. But really, it starts with, look at that in verse 24. Therefore, whoever says hears these sayings, look at that. It starts with therefore. So you know what? I don't want to start right there. I want to back it up a few scriptures and get the full thought of what actually is going on here. So we need to back it up then to actually to verse 21 to get the full meaning of, because it flows right into verse 24, okay? So this is where it starts, in verse 21, Matthew chapter 7. And this is Jesus speaking. It's in red. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So notice that, not he who says. It's not everyone who says to me. Not everyone who says to me, Lord. Lord, you know, what does Lord mean? Supreme authority, the master, the owner. Lord, that's what Lord means. When we say, oh, Jesus, yes, he is my Lord. When we say that, understand, you know, sometimes it can just kind of be just kind of a Christian kind of word sometimes, you know? And so we remind ourselves when we say Jesus is our Lord, we're saying Jesus is our master. We're saying that Jesus is the supreme authority. He is our owner. And, you know, sometimes people will shrink back at that and they're like, I'm not going to be nobody's slave. Well, we got to get rid of that attitude if that's there, because we got to realize we need to be somebody's slave, because we can't make it without an owner, without a master. And the master is to be Jesus, because he knows this life. He knows. And so we follow him. So we want a master, and we want that master to be Jesus. So wow, instead of shrinking back and thinking, what bondage, we think, wow, what an opportunity for us that we get to have a Lord, that we get to have someone that knows so much more than us. Glory to God. So it's actually a very awesome thing. So he's saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Well, over in Luke, look at that really quick there. In Luke 6:46, looks like he's sounding perplexed. He's saying, well, why do you call me Lord when you don't do the things that I say? It's kind of like, you know, it's just so simple. Jesus, can you almost hear Jesus saying that? He's like, well, why are you calling me Lord if you don't do the things that I say? Because he's almost like, that's what Lord means. You do what I say. So why are you calling me Lord if you're not doing what I'm saying? Right? So back to over in Matthew's account here, 7, verse 22. Let's go on. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? So look at him. They're referring to him as Lord, but they didn't live with him as Lord, is what he's saying there. They were doing his works. He's like, hey, haven't we prophesied? Haven't we done all these wonderful things for you, Lord? They were doing his works, but they weren't obeying his words. He's saying, a lot of people call me Lord, but I'm not. You know, just because, you know, I might call someone a dog, just because I call them a dog doesn't mean they're a dog, right? Just because me saying they're a dog doesn't make them a dog. They're a dog. If they're a dog, they're a dog. The Lord is saying, he's saying a lot of people are calling me Lord, but I'm not. So we want to call him Lord, and then we want to do what he says and show him, you are my Lord. I'm not just saying you're my Lord. I'm living as for you as my Lord. Amen. In verse 23, we go on. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In the Amplified, it says there in verse 23, it says, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commands. Man, that sounds so strong, doesn't it? And sometimes, you know, come on, our flesh, it don't like reading some of these scriptures sometimes, you know, but sometimes we need this. We need to be reminded of these things. Who wants to be deceived? We don't want to walk through life being deceived. We want to know the truth, right? We want to continuously have the truth shine upon our heart so we have continuously are able to be changed. Amen? So he's saying, he's referring that if you're disregarding my commands, he's actually saying, you who act wickedly. I mean, that's wicked to God. And we don't want to be wicked, right? We don't want to disregard his commands. We want to take heed to his commands. And then in verse 24, let's go on now. So then it goes on now into the parable. So what we just read here, and now therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So he who hears these sayings of mine and does them In the NIV, it says, puts them into practice. Puts them into practice. The Amplified says, acts upon them. So not just hearing it, but then we're going to act upon the word we hear. We want to implement these words every time we come to church. What an awesome opportunity that we get to come to sit under the office and the anointing of a pastor that God has ordained in his word. To hear from God, to hear from heaven. And then other times, there's time, things only you're going to hear when you're at home, spending that one-on-one time with God, you and him. There's only some things you're going to hear from this pulpit under the pastor that God has anointed for you. And then there's other things you're only going to hear at your time appointed with your time with him. But those, there's purpose for those things. And not just so we hear it or we're listening to a CD or whatever we're doing. When we're hearing the word, it's not just to stop there. We are to, with the intention, the full intention of what I'm hearing, I'm endeavoring to do it. By the help and the grace of God, I can do this. That's why I am to be hearing it, so I can go do it. Not so I can just fill my ears and then just go on out and just say, hey, I went to church. I fulfilled my obligation to God. We're only half done. We've heard it, but we need to implement it. Amen? Implementing these words that we find, these instructions from God we receive, implement them into our life, into our home, into our relationships, on the job, everything in life. Hearing and then doing, practicing them. Amen? And when we mess up, we repent, we get up, and we go on again. But we can't shove it over to the side anymore and just think it's just going to disappear. We've got to face that thing and not fear. And as we face it, God helps us to deal with it. Amen. Come on, God's been doing some stuff in me here lately, and I'll bet you he's doing it in you too, and I'm encouraging you this morning. Don't be afraid to face that which you know is wrong about you, because as we allow the light of God's countenance, the light of his word to shine on us, that is what's going to change us, not us in our own works and our own strength. It's the light of God's word that's going to change us. We just have to decide, I'm willing to be vulnerable, God. I'm open, God. And look at this, in that same verse 24 over in Luke's account, in 6 verse 48, this is how he did it. He dug deep. He dug deep and laid foundation on the rock. We've got to be willing to go deeper. We've got to be willing to allow the words of God as we hear them to not just go in one ear and out the other ear. But we need to endeavor to, as it comes in this ear, we allow it to drop and sink deep down into our heart and let it work there in us and allow it to continue to do a deep work in us. So he, in Luke's account, he's saying he dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Our doing the word, our doing is the digging. He dug deep and laid the foundation. That's how you dig. You do. Dig it? You do it. Okay, so how do I get down to the rock? How do I build my life on Jesus? You do the word. The doing the word is the digging down into the onto the rock. Take time to dig. Take time to dig in every area of life. Let's allow the Spirit of God to help us dig deep into our spirits where our convictions are. And allow his words to be built on those convictions, on the word, on Christ. Amen. But we've got to allow that word to go down deep. No more in one ear, out the other ear. No more. If and where any of us have been doing that, we can't just passively hear the word anymore. We must receive this word knowing it is life. It is life. It's life to us. We got to stop thinking we can keep making it on our own. And you think, well, I can't make it on our own. I know I need God. But just we all need to check up on ourselves sometimes and realize, hey, but if we're not really spending much time with God, we might say we need God, but we're really not truly believing we need God if we're not taking time with God where we know that is our, he is our life source, you see? And so we know we need God. We know we need to dig. Our doing the word is the digging. So we take time to dig. Say, I'm going to take time to dig. I'm going to take time to dig. goes on to verse 24. Let's read it again, and we'll go on to verse 24. 25. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man who wants to be wise. We want to be wise. A wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Come on, we know about rain and flooding around here lately, don't we? Rain and flooding, winds blew and beat on it. In Luke's account, it says that the wind beat vehemently. We're not talking about a little. The winds vehemently blew on that house. Rain, flooding. Sometimes things might feel like they're beating up against you. Amen? We're a house. We're the house of God. And we are building our lives on the foundation. And so we realize, we know the storms of life, they come to every one of us. Not one of us are exempt from it. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Hallelujah, we're on the winning team. How silly to him it must seem. We think, Lord, why is this happening? Oh, God, why is this happening? It's like, duh. I am in this world, tribulation, be of good cheer. That's a big one right there. Be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. You're like, well, okay, well, great. You've overcome the world, but what about me? This world's beating up on me. Well, if he's in you and you're in him, don't be deceived by that wind that's blowing. God doesn't need to do anything more for us. All we need is to see what he's already done for us. Oh, God, just if you would just move in this area of my life, if you would just move. He's not moving anymore. He's already moved. It's such an amazing revelation to receive and really think on that. God's not doing anything anymore for anybody. He's already done it. So you see, sometimes we're like, believe in God for anything. Why aren't you coming through, God? I prayed. God, I just need, if you would just move, if you would just do this. Meanwhile, it's not a prayer of faith. It can't be because it's not based on the word, because the word tells us that he's already done everything. There's nothing more he needs to do. It's us receiving the revelation. What is revelation? It's rhema. It's when the word becomes light and it shines upon our heart and it explodes the truth and we realize, I don't need God to do anything for me. He's already done everything he could possibly do. And so when that revelation comes into the heart of you, it explodes. And things can't stay the same because now you know. But notice, and it beat upon that house. It wasn't just kind of like going by. I mean, it was beating on that house. It was being touched. It was beating on it. It was being touched. The storms came. Life happens. Why didn't it fall? Why didn't it fall? Because it was built on the rock. Not because the house was so strong. Stop thinking you got to get stronger. It's not because the house was so strong. Our own works, our own righteousness. Had nothing to do with the house, guys. It had to do with that house waiting to be built on rock. It had to do with the foundation. That's what kept that house up, not the house. The foundation is what kept the house up. In verse 26, now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Who wants to be a foolish man? Nobody. So we say we don't want to be foolish, and now the word is showing us, okay, this is what a foolish man does. So then what does that tell us? I ain't gonna do that because I don't want to be foolish. So this one hears the word and doesn't do the word. Jesus says that man is foolish. Some of you look like you need to chuckle a little. I looked it up in the dictionary. One of the definitions of foolish is blockhead. We could name this, don't be a blockhead. Don't be a blockhead. The foolish built their house on the sand. And why would that be? Because they think, oh, they're just in a big hurry. Oh, I just got to be in a big hurry. I don't have time. I don't have time. I'm in a big hurry. And they just started building their house on the sand. Mm-mm-mm. I don't have time to dig. I don't, have we ever said that before? You know, I don't have time today. In Luke's account, it says there that they built on the earth without a foundation. And think about it, in the natural, I mean, I know it's going to sound so silly, but it really is the truth to illustrate this. In the natural, if we were to go down to Florida, we would love that. Some of us would. Go down to Florida. Go on to the beach. Beautiful white sand. Say, all right, this is where I'm going to build my house. Wouldn't you probably call that person a blockhead? It's just even so foolish, it's so stupid to even kind of say, right? But yet when we compare it to spiritual things, that's what it's like. And he's comparing it to that. That's what this person is like. The one that doesn't hears the word and doesn't do the word, it's like they're going down to the beach and they're just going to build a house right there on the sand. And then when the winds and the storms and the floods start moving, they're like, where were you, God? Where are you? Where are you? He's like, this is not where your house is supposed to be. It's supposed to be built on me, not on the things of the world, not on the earth. And it's not like all of a sudden you dig, you build the house, and it's done. We are a continual project, are we not? We continue, even though, well, I mean, here I'm at a certain degree in my spiritual walk with the Lord. My house is built on the rock, but I'm continuously endeavoring to go deeper, because the deeper I allow into my spirit, the word and the transformation to look more like him, to be more like him, to sound more like him, to walk more like him, to talk more like him, glory to God. It's going deeper, deeper, deeper. And then as the winds sometimes might pick up, I'm just that much more steady, that much more stable, that much more grounded in God, on the rock in Christ. Amen. Come on, we all know it. And, you know, sometimes we just get too hard on ourselves, guys. Like, look at where you were, and now look at where you are. Awesome. Glory to God, him working in our life. So let's not get down on ourselves. Realize where you were and now where you are. But don't think, oh, well, you're doing so great where you are. Let's keep pressing. Because you know what? This world's not going to get any better. Winds are getting stronger. Floods are raging higher now, church. You want to dig deep. You want to dig deep. You want to take the time to dig. Allow the Spirit of God. Dig deep onto the rock. He will hold you. He has told you. He will protect you. But we've got a part. Amen. Verse 26. Again, now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Notice this. It's not because that first, the first house just had a little sprinkling, spring shower, and the second house had a downpour of torrential rain. It was the same rain. Not one didn't have it easier than the other. It was the same rain. The same rain descended. Both were flooded. Both had winds blowing, vehement winds blowing. Because sometimes people think, well, look, they got it easy. You don't know what they got because you're not in their life. It's the same. So sometimes, and I just say that to help us, because sometimes we can think, woe is me, and want to pull out the violin and let the music begin. They were both houses. Not one was like maybe a little teepee or, you know, a little, I mean, they were both houses. Both rain, both floods, both winds blowing. There was only one big difference. There was only one difference. One fell, collapsed, and one didn't. It stood. We're going to be the ones that are going to stand, because we can do this thing. We've been instructed well. We know how to do this word. We know how to put it into practice. And now, so let's stop as we start moving forward and we start doing, and then we just give up because we didn't see results overnight or 2 weeks, and we put a time limit on it. Take your time off the untimed God. Faith is in it for the long haul. So what made the difference? Not one house was stronger. It was the foundation. They were both houses. It wasn't the house. It had nothing to do with the house. Remember this. I feel like this is so good. Let's really get this. It wasn't the house. It wasn't dependent upon the house. Because sometimes then we'll look at ministers and we'll like, how could they have fallen? How did their house collapse? You see? It's not the house. It's where the house is built on. And that determines if the house is going down or not. Turn to John chapter 13. You know, some people think, oh, you know, God. And I actually heard these words and I had written them down. I just want to be happy. You know, I'm looking for happiness. You know, I just want to be happy. I mean, who just wants to be happy? We do. We want to be happy, right? Don't you love the word of God, how it shows us how to do everything? Do you realize that it shows us how to be happy? So you want to be happy? He shows us how to be happy. You ready? It's great. I mean, it's just anything we need to know. It's right there in the word. All right. John chapter 13, verse 17. Jesus speaking, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Do you still want to be happy? Oh, so you mean like everything isn't just going to like fall out of heaven and we just hand it on? If we want to be happy, we do these words. As we know them, as we hear them, happy are you if you do them. You're not going to be happy just hearing these words of God. When we turn happy is when we do them. And you know why? Because it brings results. You think, well, it hasn't brought results in my life yet. Well, are you in it for the long haul? Maybe we need to change something there. I believe some people need to make a change there. In your heart, you weren't in it for the long haul. It's still like you're waiting. I'm waiting. Faith just knows. Faith isn't putting time limits on stuff. It just knows. Jesus said it's doing the word. Doing his will is going to truly make us happy. This is what's going to fulfill us. This is what's going to make us happy. In the NIV, it says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So hearing the word does not bless you. It doesn't stop there. Hearing the word and doing the word, that's what blesses us. That word blessed means empowered to prosper. So we're learning to build our life on the rock. You see the significance of this? You see the importance of it? Not just being hearers, but being doers. Doers of the word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to see, God, some of these things that now need to be, God. Where we've just been hearing and not truly been God-fearing. Help us to see that digging now would be found in our lives you would see. For it is time to dig. Dig, dig, dig. Help us to dig, God. To get past the carnal, to get past the natural, to get past the flesh, and all these things that we think for us would be the best. And we would dig into you, into your word, into your presence that helps us see the truth. Oh God. So when the storms do come, as they will and do to everyone, may we be a house that is found standing. And the winds start to blow, and we think, God, don't you see me? Don't you know? We say, God, I'm building my house upon you. And I know you are seeing me through. Through this storm, through this wind, through this flooding that seems so long ago it even did begin. May we see the need to dig, and we'll see those waters recede. As we see the need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Just take a few more minutes with you, God. Filling our hearts, strengthening. Teaching us a lesson. You're endeavoring for us to listen. And in your presence, to abide, even through the storm. In God we hide. Stay in God, stay in God, stay in God, stay in God, stay in God. Every storm passes. Oh God, as we dig down deep and we come to you every day to meet, and as we go out and do those words you speak to us, we're digging. As we're doing, we're digging all throughout the day with what we do and with what we say. We're digging, we're digging, we're digging, we're digging down, we're digging down, 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 further down into the ground. My Got to see him in the storm. Got to see him. 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 Help us to see you, Lord. I believe there's ones in this place. They've lost sight of you. In the storm they do face. They've lost sight of you. They're not seeing you, Lord. You want to break the clouds apart so they can see you have their heart. You're not forgotten. You're not forgotten. Oh, on the contrary, if you could only see the light just ahead of that storm that you do see. Mighty God all through the storm. Mighty God all through the storm. All through the storm, Lord. You'll see, will receive, and I will fulfill every need. Eyes back on me, on eternity. Get them off of all of that worldly carnality. Eternity, eternity. Father, that's just how I see it. We'll keep your eyes closed. That's just how I see it in the spirit. It's different ones in storms, and you know, just picture yourself in a storm, and you know, in the clouds, you can't see the sun at all. It just gets so dark. Just gets so dark. It just gets so dark. Dark. Oh God, help those to see today that not is not the way it is in the spirit, you say. That we would not go by our natural eyes today, but we would know right beyond that cloud that does speak and the winds blow so loud. The flood seems like it'll never come to an end. There you are, breaking through that cloud. Jesus, 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 breaking through the cloud. Can you see it just in your heart? Can you see him breaking through the cloud, giving you a fresh start? See, see me. Breaking through the cloud into the heavenlies. Thank you, Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Gene Fraser by going to her media page at genefraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Gene's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and A Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings. as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is jeanfraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.